Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I am Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
And today, midsummer, we are just having a check-in with each other. No guests today. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm not bad. In about an hour, I'm going on a road trip this week.
Oh, wow. How long is the road trip?
The road trip is about 5 days. We will be exploring all that Pennsylvania has to offer.
God, I'm quite familiar with what Pennsylvania has to offer. I went to school in like Amish country, Pennsylvania, and grew up in Philly. I'll be interested. What are your hot spots you're going to hit?
Well, it's unclear yet. I mean, the boyfriend has work to do, which is why we're doing it. And I'm just coming along for laughs. So it's unclear, but I predict that there will be cheesesteak in my life in the next 24 hours.
Oh, for sure. For sure. No, I've been having a lot of road trip envy. I've been seeing a lot of people road tripping. I think probably because, you know, maybe people aren't totally comfortable to fly yet. And I've been seeing a lot of road trips, and I am also going to be taking two this summer. One, I'm going to do up the West Coast, and then only landing like right above San Francisco. And then I'm going to take one in the East Coast between Cape May, Jersey, all the way up to Boston.
Are you coming to New York?
I don't know yet. I'm going to have my kid with me, who is, you know, I'm kind of feeling like this is like our last summer that they're going to want to spend any time with me. So, I mean, I might come through New York. I definitely want it to be like full of pools and rest stops and, you know, jumps in the ocean and lakes. And I want to try to have that real like quintessential summer experience. And then I'm hoping to do a night or two in Brooklyn if I can pull it off.
That would be great. Now, I have a question. What kind of packer are you?
What kind of packer am I? It depends. I can really be a terrible packer. Like, I can be a person who, like, overthinks everything and then suddenly has forgotten underwear, you know?
Yes.
Or like, oh, I really could have used a long sleeve shirt. But in terms of like my outfits, I really am a person who needs all my clothes in front of me to be able to dress well. I really get stuck on vacation, but for a trip like this, I'll take, you know, a number of shorts, the dreaded shorts, a couple of dresses, something long sleeve. I'm also going to bring sleeping bags just in case we're in a situation where, you know, there's not. I'm thinking we might be like couch surfing a little bit, visiting friends. So, I don't know. I don't know how good of a packer I am. Sometimes I'm really great and I really hit it. And sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm cold. know?
It's just, you know, it's very, what I've discovered about myself is what, no matter how much I pack, I will always end up wearing the same three or four things on vacation or out of town, period. So I really try to predict what those three or four things are going to be. Never very accurately, but it helps that, that knowledge that I'm just going to repeat outfits helps.
Yeah, it's just that I don't love to repeat outfits, and also things get dirty, and I hate, they get like a weird, like, okay, so today I am wearing a short sleeve black sweater that I know that I dry cleaned, okay? And about 5 minutes ago, I was like, wait, does this sweater smell? And yes, it does. It has like a smell baked into it that dry cleaning did not get out, and it's disgusting. And I was going to change, but then we were recording. Anyway, so that kind of like, a little bit of smelly clothes, though. I have washed in sinks. I will wash a garment in a sink in a hotel room if I have to. Mm-hmm. But I really do like to have, especially a top. Like, I like to have a fresh top every day.
I get it. That's fair. Especially in the summer.
Yes.
You know, when things get sweaty and gross.
I saw Elizabeth Gilbert went on a road trip in like France last year. Not last year, like 2 years ago. Who knows? This is like Instagram brain. Like, it happens sometime, whenever. It's probably Elizabeth Gilbert. Anyway, she went on a trip to Europe and was very proud of herself that she had only brought one shirt. And every day, or something like that, maybe two shirts. But every day I was like, oh my God, I was really stressed out by this one shirt. Is she going to stain it? I can't believe you're still wearing that one fucking shirt. So.
Good on her, man. That is beyond anything I could accomplish.
No, me too. But, you know, I do have a decent compression suit. I have the Away suitcase, and I do find that you can fit so much into the carry-on version of them. You can really just like
cram it in,
make it huge, and then sit on it. It really does like shrink down, and I have fit quite a bit in that.
I have too. The only problem with the Away suitcase is I got it when they still had the chargers in them,
yes,
which you cannot get on an airplane with, and I once had to have it removed like at the gate.
Yes.
And for me, and probably other people, the most stressful part of a flight is boarding, you know, because is my carry-on going to fit in? Is my carry-on going to have to get checked? This is the type of question that drives me crazy. And on that flight, I had to stand there and watch everybody board.
No.
While they were like removing the battery. And I was like, ugh, just take it, check it, fuck it.
Oh my God, you were hanging with the stroller people.
I was hanging with the stroller people, and I gave up. I was like, fine.
Well, you can remove that battery, and then you lose it immediately. That has been my experience, because you remove the battery, and then, I mean, it's actually really handy, but then you lose it immediately. No, I am not a wealthy person, but I will pay any amount of money to be one of the first people to board a plane I don't have to deal with that stress. Because I just want to get on first. I want to be sitting down. I want to watch everybody walking by me. I'm just like, I'm seated. I'm settled.
I'm the same way. I'm such a nervous traveler around that stuff. But I also wanted to talk to you about something very stupid I did.
Okay, please.
I am not a big eBay shopper. I know that you have been a big eBay shopper in your life.
Yes. Huge.
We were talking, this will definitely air after the episode with Andrea Lynette, when we were talking about her Gucci loafers and how they're timeless, and how I was very obsessed with these Gucci clogs that have the horse bit hardware on them, and which were made, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. So I stalk them online on eBay and on the RealReal and wherever else I think I might be able to find them.
Right.
And I found a pair that was priced on eBay, or, you know, the preliminary price was $100 lower than it usually is. So I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then I bid the asking price at that moment, which is like the dumbest rookie mistake of eBay rookie mistakes.
So there was an asking price. Well, but what was, you could have come in lower?
I could have come in much lower. And I came in days before the auction ended.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Days before the auction ended. And then I got an email yesterday saying, like, you are the leading bidder for these Gucci clogs, which I had decided I no longer wanted because they were kind of dumb and trendy.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to buy those fucking Gucci clogs for $585. This was crazy. What was I even thinking? Fortunately, somebody bid higher than me. But I thought, I called Andrea and I was like, what happens if you change your mind about something you bid on? And she's like, well, you know, you can, it's very complicated, blah, 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 and whatever. In the end, it worked out, but I really felt like I flunked eBay.
Well, no, you got a black, you, okay, so first off, you would get like just a black mark. Like you can do one of those. You just can't do it many times. Like mm-hmm. that person might leave you a bad review and somebody might be less likely to sell to you in the future, but in my experience that never happens. eBay is wild and dangerous, and that is not the worst mistake you can make on eBay. That is not the dumbest mistake. The dumbest mistake you can make on eBay is buying a piece of furniture, mid-century modern furniture, on eBay for what you think is an amazing price and having it delivered and it turns out it's doll furniture, which
no
is,
yeah. Oh my God, that's like the scene in Spinal Tap.
Yes.
With Angelica Houston when they realized that they put the measurements for Stonehenge at inches instead of feet.
Yes, this has happened to me.
Oh my God, that is hysterical.
Okay, but the other thing is sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'll just be sort of casually shopping eBay. And like I did this a couple weeks ago. I was like, I really was wanting like a vintage Patagonia fleece. I was just like having this like weird normcore, like I just want like a big 80s Patagonia fleece in like a weird pattern mm-hmm. that I'll wear for like, you know, I don't know, one season. I live in a hot place. I have no idea when I'll wear it. So I bid really low. I did like, you know, make me an offer. And I bid really low. And I was like, there's no way they're going to take this. Like I was almost like fucking with the system. And then mm-hmm. he took it. And I was like, I no longer want this Patagonia. And like, I was mad. I was mad. But no, I still shop on eBay. I had a thing recently where I was, Bob Guccione is, did you know Bob Guccione was also a painter?
I did.
Okay. So he was a classical painter. And I was looking to see if any of his art was still available on eBay. And because this is the thing I'll do, I'll never even hang this. This is why I'm a hoarder, okay? Mm-hmm. So the thing is about eBay, I have found, is like people sometimes don't know. So sometimes people are just overpricing things. But then there are a lot of times people don't know what they have. They don't mm-hmm. know the value of what they have. So I was seeing this one like Guccione lithograph for like $1,500 everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not spending $1,500 for a piece of like prank art, you know, like a joke in my home, not mm-hmm. worth it. But somebody else, and I was like, I can't believe this is real. Somebody else was just like, I want to get rid of this fucking Guccione painting because nobody's ever going to want this lithograph. $150.
Wow.
Totally bought it. Totally is an original. Totally has his signature and the number on it. I rolled it out. The end of the story is I rolled it out and my husband, Alex, was like, what are we going to do with that? Like, it's still not good art that you bought.
It's hilarious. Well, I think eBay does do that. Like it encourages obsessive searching for esoteric things.
Yes. Yes. And that's what, I mean, you know, that was the thing I did at Lucky. That was like my big contribution to Lucky was the eBay obsessed column.
I remember it well.
Which is so funny that I did that. But anyway, because I can't imagine spending that much of my life.
You had a tape measure at your desk.
I did. Well, that is the key to eBay, to shopping for vintage clothes, is you really have to know your measurements. Mm-hmm. I still have a tape measure at my desk, come to think of it, for the same reason.
Very funny.
You still need to know. And now let's take a quick break for some ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we're back. So I've been thinking a lot about brains lately.
Really? What in particular about brains?
Well, so there was this whole, I don't know if you were following this, but there was this whole study of the menopausal brain. Like, finally people are like, yes, menopause really impacts your brain. Like, no shit, any of us that have been living in it. But I've been really forgetful lately, like, really struggling to find words, to find like just normal words, you know, and that's like can be a little bit scary. So I've been reading a lot of the New York Times health and wellness stories. I think it's called their well section. Anyway, and so I saw this thing today, yesterday, someday, see how great I'm remembering. No, so two things. So first off, menopause brain, menopause does affect your memory. It's real, but most people get it all back when they're through the menopause transition, right? But then I saw this other thing and I'm obsessed. Are you obsessed with like old people? Like when they study like 100 year olds?
Like the oldest old, like how the oldest old survive. Yes.
Yes. I am. There's nothing I love more than a story about how the oldest old is still living a good life. Right. Mm-hmm. I love like an old, you know, athlete. I'm like, yes, go. Anything.
Yes. Or Roger Angel, the New Yorker writer. Is he still alive? He wrote an amazing piece about being in his 90s.
Yes, I will read anything about sort of being like cognitively sound and physically sound in your 90s and beyond, because it is my dream. So they did this whole study of cognitive super agers is what they're calling them. And it was like, they did a whole study of them, and it's sad because it started out like they were like all in their 90s, started out with like 300 and something people in this study. And then, you know, by the end, it was only 79, obviously, because they're in their 90s. But anyway, but the people who survived, so it was like, and who had brain, like really good brain function, even if they had a predisposition for Alzheimer's, and even if they showed Alzheimer's in their brain makeup in like an autopsy after they died, the reason they were able to stay cognitively sound was like the normal shit that you know, like exercise and a Mediterranean diet, and we need to socialize, and you know, so exercise was super important. But the thing that I thought was so interesting about this was hearing and vision. So you need to be able to hear and be able to see well. So you need to have the right, you know, whatever. A lot of people get vain, and if they need hearing aids, they don't use them, or they don't have the right prescription glasses or whatever, contact lenses, whatever. They're not having their vision corrected. And these were two indicators of having poorer cognitive function as you age. And I was like, okay, that's good. That's a good tip.
That is a good tip. But, you know, my mother is 84. She is completely, like, she has lost none of her cognitive function. A little forgetful, but no more forgetful than me. And she's just almost completely deaf. She wears hearing aids, but even with the hearing aids, she's almost completely deaf. But I believe that. I believe that you just, you know, those are two simple things to, like, make sure are happening. But I do worry about my own hearing. My brother has trouble hearing. I feel like it's hereditary, and I went to so many shows.
Oh, yeah. And also Walkman. Like, yep. Like, I don't even know how much I was blasting into my ears.
Because
like,
they don't make them as loud as they used to. They used to be so loud.
I feel like everything used to be so loud. I feel like it was just like a very loud time. And plus then we also lived through the time of restaurants. Like restaurants used to have so much cushioning and like drapes and even carpet, like so that you could have like a quieter experience. And then we got into this like industrial decor of restaurants, and restaurants are like incredibly loud now.
It is true. And one of the thing, there are a few things that make me feel as old as having to ask a waiter or waitress to turn down the music.
Oh yeah, that's
that's like almost Karen behavior.
I was just gonna say that. I had a situation the other day where I was out to breakfast, and they brought me the wrong iced tea. I wanted mm-hmm. black iced tea. They brought me some gross like passion fruity and I can't handle like a sweet drink like that anymore. Like no mm-hmm. way. And so I was talking to my daughter, and I was like, you know, mommy has this situation where I was a waitress for a long time, and I hate to be annoying. I don't want to be the annoying person in the restaurant, but I do have the wrong iced tea. And she said, please don't ask. Please don't ask for the manager. Please don't be a Karen. And I was like, okay, I didn't know you know what a Karen was. but then I was like, well, what if I did ask for the manager? She said, I would still love you, but I would respect you less.
That's completely fair.
It is. And then I wound up doing the thing, which is also so passive, like of being like drinking like half of it and being like, could I have actually the black tea this time? Mm-hmm. You know, wanting to be annoying, you know.
I know. My grandparents were terrible returners in restaurants. They returned everything. And it really scarred me, you know? And plus, I don't think you want to be sending stuff back to most kitchens.
No.
I mean, you were a waitress, you know.
No, I was a waitress for 10 years, and no, you don't. I'm not going to say whom, but one of my close relatives behaves terribly in restaurants. Terribly, like, will like motion to the waiter in really obnoxious ways mm-hmm. that are really condescending. Is not a great tipper. Like, mm-hmm. I can't. And you get into one of those situations where you're then leaving money and it's awkward, and you know, they're picking up the tab, but they're not tipping well enough. So you're trying to secretly leave money for the waiter. I don't understand how people don't understand, particularly after the year that we've had, how hard being in the service industry is.
Yeah, my grandmother once didn't speak to me for the rest of her visit to New York because I left extra cash on the table because her tip was like maybe 11.5%.
Oh, no. And that would even happen, I remember, in corporate situations where, like, you know, you're like, old male boss takes you out for lunch at like some really expensive place in New York, and you see, like, I would just die of cringing. You know, you'd see a 10% tip and you'd just be like, oh, well, there's nothing I can do in this situation because I can't insult my boss.
Right. No, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just being cheap.
You know, I do mostly believe that anyone who works for tips is not making enough money. So I'm a pathological over tipper.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, I listen to my mom, and my mom says, you know, the important thing about saving money is paying attention to all the little shit. And I believe her, and among the little shit is tipping, but I just feel like, you know, it's just never, it's good juju. It's just good to put it out there.
It is good juju. But man, that's good advice from your mom. Like, I think about this all the time. Like, my fortune goes like $39 at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really is all the little shit. It's not the big shit. It's really mm-hmm. just like being like, oh, $40, who cares?
It's, you know, like Hulu, Spotify, Netflix, HBO Max, all of those things add up. And but they're all, you know, and thinking, is this one really necessary? And is this one really necessary?
Well, yeah. Well, it's pleasures, right? And I'm a pleasure glutton. But yeah. Although I will tell you, after this week, I'm still on vacation. And after this week of just like, just doing kind of whatever I wanted, you know, I don't think, I mean, I haven't walked more than 3 steps at a time since I'm a slug. I'm a vacation slug. And at a certain point, and I've reached it now, I'm like on day 6 of this vacation, that I'm like, whoa, this is way too much indulgence. Like, I mm-hmm. feel just gross. I've been just like, oh, that's another pleasure I would like. Let me just lie around and drink this cocktail out of the can and maybe be a little bit high. And oh, here's some potato chips. And oh, how about we go out and get some candy and, you know, all of that. We were talking about this a little bit with the first weeks of you being in love, like how you're just like, I'll just indulge in everything. It's like pleasure yes. gluttony. It's pleasure gluttony is what it is. And eventually you're just like, ugh.
No, eventually you've got to like have a nice tall glass of water and sit up straight and get back to normal, because it does pleasure gluttony is I have that impulse as well, and it really does kind of gross you out after a while.
Yeah, I'm super grossed out right now, but I will say the one thing that I have I've been thinking about a lot is I've been liking a lot of things. Like, I've really been just enjoying like the soothingness of really just liking something.
Like a thing, like a dress.
Like or a book, a dress, a TV show. And I've been talking to my friend Sam a lot about like having like a critical brain versus having just a, oh, I just like this. I don't even know if it's good or not, but I know that I like it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I know anymore if things are good. Like, I used to feel like, you know, whatever, it's just, nothing is really objective, but, you know, like, would this be well reviewed in a magazine? You know, I don't feel connected enough to culture to know if something would be considered good by everybody, like, you know, sort of groupthink, right? I only know what I like anymore, and I've started, I guess, looking at things less critically and been more like, is this bringing me happiness?
I think that's great. You know, my older brother Mike said something to me when I was an editor at New York Magazine, and I've maybe said it on the podcast before. He's like, the problem with your job and working at a place like New York Magazine is that nothing new is new enough and nothing good is good enough. And I, you know, when I was younger, I enjoyed thinking critically about everything and being able to, like, you know, talk with my friends and colleagues about stuff. But I'm kind of glad I don't have that critical brain as much anymore and can just enjoy some stupid thing.
Yes, I feel like that too. And I also feel like, what's the thing, like, when you're younger, your personality is made up by the things you don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you get older, it's made up by the things that you do. I think maybe that's true. That's not exactly what the language is for that. But I do think that when you're younger, you're really sort of differentiating yourself by talking about the things you don't like. Well, I don't like that. That's not right for me. This isn't, you know. And as you get older, you're like, wait, that shit's great.
Yep. No, I feel that way about some music, mm-hmm. for sure. You know, for sure I have some cheesy taste in music, and I don't care about that. And, you know, that would have been anathema when I was, you know, a young rock writer.
Totally, totally. But it also just opens you up to, it just opens you up to so many things because you're less restrictive, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, maybe I feel like watching what would be considered a shitty movie tonight, but that's going to make me happy in this moment.
Yeah. I even think about the way I dress, you know, it's like everything doesn't, every day doesn't have to be a statement. Some days it's just a fucking shirt dress.
Yes. And I think that there's liberation in that for sure. I think there's liberation in just being like, this is the stuff I like. But I will say, I've had some moments over the last couple of years that I've been very happy to not be in New York, because I know a couple of like cultural moments that I've been very happy to not be in New York, because I didn't want to be sitting around with people who are thinking critically about culture all the time, having conversations about a thing I like and having them ruin it. Sometimes yep. the discourse around something, like, I just don't want to read any of it. I don't want to know what people are thinking. I felt that way about Mayor of Easttown. I was mm-hmm. like, I don't want all the noise around this. I don't want all the ancillary information. I just want to have the experience one-on-one with this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a change. I used to very much want to be a part of a community when it came to things I was consuming.
I totally get that. But that comes with age, and, you know, it's a thing that comes with confidence.
Yes, actually. Yes, that's right.
I think so, because you don't give a shit if anybody else likes the thing you like, and you don't feel the need to say something smart about it necessarily. It just is the thing you like.
Right. The having to come up with something smart about the thing.
Like, yeah, I know. I did enough of that.
Oh my God. Same. Oh my God. Speaking of all the money I spent in bars having conversations I didn't want to be having.
No shit.
I'm excited for your road trip. I hope you have the best time on your trip.
Thank you. I shall be in frequent contact.
Yes, definitely. Be texting me all the time.
Okay, well, have a great week, Jen.
You have a great week, too. And thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms. If you don't, please don't say anything at all. We have a Patreon. If you want to subscribe for bonus content, it is patreon.com/everythingisfine. You can also find us on Instagram at EIF Podcast. And you can find Kim on her blog, Girls of a Certain Age.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.